So today is Thursday, 20th of June, 2019. We are having our class at Promissory and Brother Tim's house. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the Saddha, Virya, then mindfully we shall pay our respect and do the chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Sa Jiā Mǒu Nǐ Fǒ. Namo Bổn Sư Sa Jiā Mǒu Nǐ Fǒ. Namo Bổn Sư Sa Jiā Mǒu Nǐ Fǒ. Namo Quan Sư Yin Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Yin Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Yin Bồ Tát. Namo Mi Lo Fǒ. Namo Mi Lo Fǒ. Namo Mi Lo Fǒ. Namo Fǒ Bồ Tát. Namo Fǒ Bồ Tát. Namo Fǒ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhemi. Suvakāto Bhagavata Dhammo. Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmīrayā majjhāpamādattānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sārappa dittena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin Pujayami Munindas Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nina Punena Matena Chohotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasabhavang Avivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. Now we will make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Paja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, then we will have half an hour of silent meditation. I will set the alarm. Okay. others already know how to meditate, you straight away proceed. If your spiritual faculties are already there, then you find meditation become very simple, very easy. Because most of the time with the spiritual awareness, spiritual faculty, your sati is already there. Then with your sadha virya, you can progress very fast. Sati is the mind state that is without thought. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware in the state of sati. So what you need to do is understand this and allow the mind to settle down. And finally, the thought of cease by itself. That is the real training of the mind. So if you can allow the mind to just settle down, then no matter how agitated the mind can be initially, it will finally settle down if you don't give it any more thought energy. You just accept whatever they arise. Thought arise, let it be. Whatever arise, just let it be. Whatever the mind wants you to do, you just tell the mind, not now. Later on, after the meditation, I will attend to all those things, but not now. In the meantime, you need the space to be aware, to be peaceful, to develop the meditative silence within. So when you have that understanding, you just allow the mind to settle down. Then whatever that arise, it will cease. Initially, it may take a while, but as you become more skillful, it can come quite fast. Okay, I will allow you to meditate on your own. Then when your mind become very quiet, just remain in that silence. You want to anchor that silent mind to any of your bodily kaya, you can. You can stay at your heart area and allow your mindfulness to detect whatever vibration that is detectable at your heart area. Most of the time, the prominent one is the heartbeat. You can just silent everything else. Be with the heartbeat. If you are able to relax into all mind state that arise, and you have the patience to allow the mind to be more and more quiet, more and more quiet, then your meditative mind will arise, the silent mind. And it will transform and become pasati, which is the meditative mind. Pasati is tranquility, stillness. When the mind has reached that stage of tranquility and stillness, it is called pasati. So pasati is the enlightenment factor that can allow you to develop the awakening. So I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or deva come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and relates Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakravalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sandittiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanayiko Pajatang veditakbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Yatidang chatari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakka sangho Ahoneyo pahoneyo dakeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttaram punyaketam lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujam. Buddhang Pujayami. ธัมมังปะเจมิสังฆังปะเจมิโอเค you all can be seated then just maintain some form of attention okay.Now we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting followed by whatever question that you may have regarding the teaching, the meditation, and also how to apply this teaching. Okay, yeah. Angie. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo, and all Kalyanamitas. When we go into meditation, I feel that the peace and the calm of the relaxing into the meditation is very very useful in carrying through the whole day.
Yes.
So it's
useful and very helpful. So that initial peace, the inner calmness is very useful.So when you train your mind to develop the meditation, the first thing you have to do is to relax. That's why relaxation is key. So when you relax, we have to slowly go through. First thing is to relax. That's why the first support.And this word relax is not easy. Most human beings find it very difficult to relax because they have a lot of problem in life. They have worry, they have stress, then they have anxiety, they have problems. All these unresolved issues, when you deludedly attach, cling and grasp,It will affect your mind state. That's why you cannot be in the state of relax. And when you cannot relax, you cannot be peaceful. So once you cannot relax, you cannot be peaceful. Relaxation is very important. So I better add in here. Once you cannot relax, you cannot be peaceful. So this is the very first thing that you need to understand. So relaxation is very important.Because when you can relax, it frees your mind from all worry, anxiety, and stress. So, relaxation can free the mind from.Stress, worry, and anxiety, etc. That's why the benefits of relaxation is very important. You have to relax into every mind state that arises.So when you relax into every mindset that arises, your mind can be very calm, very peaceful. Okay, thank you. I can put an apostrophe T. Why? Once you can't relax, you cannot be peaceful. So when you understand the importance of relaxation, then you will see the importance of this first support, which is relax. Relax both body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises during meditation. That's why even in the mind sweeping method, you remember? You feel. Then, what do you do? You relax into every mind state that arises, means wherever there is any tension, stress within, or tightness, you relax into it. So the way to check whether you have stress or whether you are relaxed or not is to check for stress, tension, and tightness. When you are not relaxed, all this sign will be there. You feel very tense, very tight, because you are not relaxed. So whatever tension, tightness, and stress within, you have to relax into them. Then whatever mind state that arises, like when you focus, concentrate, where certain people don't know, their energy build up because you use too much concentration or focusing. You have to relax into it. Then when you go into focus concentration, when the energy build up, if you don't relax into it, you will have problem because you don't know how to deal with energy. And your energy, when it build up, when there is no outlet to release it, you will get into trouble. Then you may develop yin-yang imbalance. Sometimes excessive heat, sometimes too cold and all those things. So all this can arise during meditation. Then sometimes when you go into certain meditative experience, then it may give rise to certain manifestation. Like when you see nimitta, then you may be able to concentrate better or focus better because you are excited and you don't know what that thing is. So you lost in it. You start to develop the curiosity of it and the interest. Then you develop the focusing, the concentration. When there is nimitta, it's very easy to focus and concentrate. But if you have to allow the mind just settle in, instead of going into concentration, it will still be collected and unwavering. But the movement, let it be natural. Then it will just be around the area, the awareness is just around the area. Then your mind will settle down. Your sankhara, everything will settle down. That's why relaxation is key. So once you can relax, you can free the mind from stress, worry, and anxiety, etc. Then you will have inner peace, inner calmness. Then when you can do that without arising any conditioned mind to focus and concentrate, then it is a free mind in a natural state of relaxed awareness. That is the meditative mind. That is the silent mind. That is the mind that can understand many things. So this one is a free mind that is naturally relaxed and just aware. And this state can only arise when there is no mental hindrance. That's why sometimes they quote to you the sutta. They always tell you, for you to develop good meditation, you must do away with the mental hindrance. But most of them don't understand. They never tell you that you need the five spiritual faculties to counter the mental hindrance. So they omit that part. And do you know what they will do? They will tell you to focus, concentrate, develop the jhana. When you go into jhana, he said, the five mental hindrances will be will not arise. Actually, not to say will not arise. They have not rooted it out. They suppress it. Because you go into a conditioned mind. Through concentration, you make the mind peaceful, aware by focusing. You use energy to suppress the mental hindrance. You didn't use wisdom and the five spiritual faculty to root them out, to counter them. So this way will lead to suppression. And the evil roots, the mental hindrance, are still latent inside there. That's why they call it the anusaya, latent tendency. So when you are not in the state of jhana or concentration, this one will erupt. This one will take over. This one become latent. That's why they call it anusaya, latent tendency. Then the other one is asava. You heard of asava? The Buddha always mentioned these two words, anusaya and asava. Asava are defilement. As long as you have not rooted out the delusion, the ignorant, defilement will be there. And as long as the defilement is there, the mental hindrance will be there. And when the mental hindrance becomes so strong, until it becomes habitual tendency, that's why this anusaya arise. They are latent tendency in you, which you have actually unknowingly, through your habitual tendency, you develop until it becomes so strong, so latent in you. That's why you like automatic reaction, sense experience or whatever people do to you, you immediately will react. Then they say, this person is very violent, very hot tempered, or very aggressive, or very lacking in patience. It's not because they lack, because of the delusion, the condition, this habitual tendency, the latent anusaya, latent tendency. That's why they respond like automatic. So immediately it is already there. So when you cannot understand all this, it's just like what I explained earlier on. When they understand that the mind need to be peaceful, and they cannot be peaceful, what do they do? What is it? Of course they will react, but they will try to come up with method and technique to control it. Control the thought. Control the thinking mind, the heedless thinking mind. So how do they do it? Because it is not behaving according to what you want. They never ask, why are you not peaceful? Why can't you just be in a state of relaxed inner awareness and be at peace with the moment? They can't. Their sankhara are so active because the mental hindrance are very strong. And what are mental hindrance? The Buddha said, these are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And what are the hindrances? Sensual desire and ill will. These are one pair. The positive and the negative. They are part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why at the moment of sense experience, they tend to stir their mind through like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these are mental states. It's like the Buddha under Vedana Nupassana, is it? You're supposed to cultivate mindfulness of feeling. When your feeling has stirred and become pleasant and unpleasant feeling, or like and dislike, you must develop the awareness of it. Aware means you know the hindrances are there. And you will come to know how the mental hindrance comes to be. How the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then how do you meditate? You meditate not by fighting the mental hindrance, not by suppressing the mental hindrance, or controlling your thought. All this will not work. You meditate to develop wisdom and understanding to allow the mind to settle down. That's why you need to have this understanding. Whatever happens, relax. The first support. Then the second support is what? Huh? After you relax, what do you do? Just aware. Don't try to do anything. The mind just relax and maintain the awareness. So if the mental hindrances are there, you don't have the spiritual faculty, your natural state of mind cannot be in that state because you lack the spiritual faculty. That's why I say spiritual faculty are very important. If you still haven't developed the ability to have the spiritual faculty and you still want to train your mind, then you need to go for skillful means to allow you to train your mind in sati. That's why the Buddha recommended anapanasati. He said you can start off with anapanasati. But a lot of people doesn't know what anapanasati is about. Anapanasati is, anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is training the mind to develop mindfulness by being aware of the in and out breath. That's it. That's why under Kaya Nupassana, the first category of training is anapanasati. You are not supposed to focus at the tip of the nostril or not the feeling. Nothing to do with that. Anapanasati, the word is very clear. Mindfulness of the in and out breath. So just relax and allow the mind to be aware that when it detects the breath, the awareness and the breath move as one. That's it. Finish. That every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. And this training is to allow you to anchor your mind, which is the awareness, to the breathing. But when it is aware of the breath, it cannot think. Do you understand? Huh? You can only do one thing at a time, right? When you are aware, can you think? You cannot think. But the problem is you hardly aware. That's why you think a lot. That's why people find anapanasati very difficult. A lot of people told me, not easy, very difficult. But I can tell you it's very easy. Yeah. I realize those who play games, where you need to take in oxygen, you need to breathe. Last time I played badminton, that's why I realize I can go into anapanasati very fast. Very natural. And the moment I sit, they teach me all the funny rising, falling, I cannot do it. But the moment I sat, the natural understanding is that it just naturally, the anapanasati just come. And I went into it very fast. Yeah. So, anapanasati is a training of the mind to be aware of the in and out breath. That's it. Then you don't go and continuously do anapanasati, understand? Like those people who are, in a way, they don't have the understanding. They thought the object of meditation, the method and the technique is the meditation. So every day they will note the object of meditation. If it's rising, falling, every day they go and do rising, falling, non-stop. He said, if I'm not doing rising, falling, I'm not doing vipassana. It goes to that extent. Then some of them have other method and techniques. So every day they do that without realizing that these are only initial skillful means to train your mind to be aware. And they fail to understand they must relax. That's why when you cannot relax, your stress builds up. Your mind state are very tense. That's why sometimes I see a lot of people meditate, they're like very serious on their face. No smile inside their one. No radiant smile of metta. I saw them like suffering inside there. Oh, very tense, very serious, a lot of attention. I feel like the Zen, come with the Zen ruler or whatever, just whack the back, then relax. Because this is what is happening. That's why when you are not aware of what you are doing and you don't know what you are doing in the name of meditation, you make all these mistakes. And this is what a lot of cultivators fail to understand. And these are very common mistakes. So based on what Angie just now shared is very good. She come to know that if we know how to relax, then she can develop inner peace, inner calmness. And this is so useful, so helpful for her to go through life. Because instead of being heedless, agitated, the mind full of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, keep on thinking of problem. So when you do that, you are hardly peaceful. You are hardly mindful or aware. That's why you have problem, because the mental hindrance are very, very strong and they take over and make you heedless. Hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness. Then like I said, the first two mental hindrances is very common. Throughout the day, you react to sense experience. When you see something, whether you like or you don't like, your mind stir. You get yourself lost in thought because you are preoccupied in that sense experience. True or not? Whatever you see, you are lost in that sense experience. Then inside your mind, the mental chattering starts. The commentator starts. Then you start to judge, create your own discriminative views and opinion of things. Then you do a lot of funny things without you realizing it. Then sometimes you talk to yourself. And apart from this sensual desire, you will be every day. When you hear something also, if you are mindful and aware, you realize your mind state oscillate and move very fast, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, and this one build up. Then even when you taste something, tactile feel something, then when you smell something, pungent, you don't like the smell, or certain type of foul smell, you realize the dislike and the aversion towards that smell is very strong in human emotion. So it is like all these are happening to you throughout your conscious moment when you are living life, but you are not aware. Your mind is lost in thought, preoccupied with all this thinking, stirring of mind, mental reaction, proliferation of thought. Then off and on, you have problem coming in to worry you. That's why fear, worry, anxiety leading to restlessness of mind is a mental hindrance. So this mental hindrance will make you stressful. The mind restless. That's why fear, worry, and anxiety is the result. Without this fear, worry, and anxiety, your mind will be very peaceful. The lack of peace comes because you have this mental hindrance of fear, worry, and anxiety. And how this mental hindrance come? When you cannot understand the first noble truth, reality. When you are confronted with the eight realities of life and existence of the first noble truth, then you perceive it with negativity, without right view, without the Dhamma. That's why you will have problem, where you perceive it with negativity. You don't have right view to accept that reality. Then you don't know how to act with wisdom. You act according to memory. your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, your belief system. That's why you act according to your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your scars of memory. And all these are delusion, evil roots. That's why you are not acting at all. You need to develop right view, right understanding, and act according to wisdom. So when you fail to do that, you will have fear, worry, anxiety. If you perceive them with negativity, then you think this is a problem. I have a problem. So I need to solve this problem, and you don't know how to solve it. What people do is people hold on to it through the thought and worry about it. That's how there is this mental hindrance of fear, worry, anxiety, leading to sorrow and lamentation, then depression, and all those problems. That's why human beings suffer a lot when they don't have the Dhamma, the understanding, to attend to life, to confront life, to be at peace with whatever life situation or whoever you encounter or meet or confront. So that aspect of the Dhamma is seldom understood. Then the fourth mental hindrance is sloth and torpor, lethargic mind. When you don't see the importance of training your mind, developing the meditation to arise the wisdom, then you don't have the spiritual zeal or virya to really seriously cultivate and go this way. And because of that, every time you go for meditation, you become sleepy. Listen to Dhamma also sleepy. It's like you attend a class, the subject you don't like on, boring. That's how the mental hindrance are. And when you are sleepy, you cannot learn, you cannot absorb. You can't even attentively listen. That's why it becomes a hindrance. So when mental hindrance like sloth and torpor arise, what must you do? I already taught you. You don't go and create dislike for that sleepiness. You don't try to go and concentrate, focus, and wake yourself up. No point. You just have to accept that reality. When you don't have spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there. And when I react to it, I stir my mind, I create more mental hindrance. Do you understand? That's why I don't label it as mental hindrance. You feel sleepy, there is a mental hindrance. You are experiencing sloth and torpor. So what must you do? When you don't create any dislike for that state, do you know what happened? The first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will or dislike cease to be. And when they cease to be and you can accept that state, means you silence your mind and maintain awareness of this mental hindrance, which is sloth and torpor. You stay with it, see what happens. I have done it before. I just relax, aware of it, and be with it. That's why every time I remember the early day, when I experience that state, I will laugh. I enjoy. Then I can test it again. I put it to test, I investigate. So I silence my mind and stay with the sloth and torpor. And you know what happened? Because I don't create the dislike, no mental hindrance. Then I accept the reality, be at peace. Sati take over. And when sati take over, there is a shift of consciousness from that sleepy mind, sloth and torpor or lethargic mind. Suddenly, the energy comes. Then that sloth and torpor is gone. And there is energy, there is brightness, there is virya. Then all of a sudden you realize that sati take over, you are fully aware. That's how you go through it. Even pain is the same. Don't label it as pain. The moment you label it as pain means dislike for that sensation. And what is dislike? It's a mental hindrance, isn't it? You will decide. If you don't label it and don't create negativity of mind state, then this mental hindrance cannot arise. Then sensation is just a sensation. I accept it. Means I relax into it and stay with it. Means I maintain awareness. Because I relax, I maintain awareness, I don't create mental hindrance, then this awareness take over. That's why the mind becomes calm, peaceful. Then that tension or that stress that created that type of so-called painful sensation, it will just cease to be. It's like the shift of consciousness that you will flash through. And because you don't react, there is no mental hindrance, nothing to make your mind restless and all those things, because it is no longer hindering your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner. Then the awareness take over, the spiritual faculty come back. That's how you overcome pain, you overcome sloth and torpor, you overcome all the mental hindrance. It's true understanding. When you understand, then you can develop the ability to overcome that. And finally, it comes back to the spiritual faculty of awareness. Through wisdom, you just maintain awareness. No more allowing the mind to stir and react and create mental hindrance like before. That's why mindfulness is very important, very useful. When you are mindful, you are aware. And the mind is very sensitive. Any movement away from that state of peace, the mind will know. Any reaction of mind, stirring of mind to arise the mental hindrance, the form and mind will know. It's aware. That's why when you are aware, you can develop the understanding to understand what is going on within your own form and mind. You will understand who are you, why, what are you, and how you behave. Why are you that way? Then you will come to understand that it's because of your wrong view, your self-delusion, your ignorance, that condition you to react and stir like that. And it is also because you keep on clinging and attaching to all this phenomenal world, the experience that you go through in life. So all of your memory, you accumulate into your brain. And through your delusion, you attach, you cling, you hold, and you act based on this memory, which has a lot of rubbish inside there. Your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and lamentation, your insecurity, and all of the mind state that you experience in life. You see how people cheat you and how you cheat people. And you see how people become aggressive. Then you see how conflict arise, how misunderstanding arise, how relationship break down. And what is the cause of all this? It's all through your self-delusion, because you develop the evil roots of selfishness, emotional negativity, fear, worry, and anxiety. You lack wisdom, you lack understanding, you lack right view. That's why you have to keep on straightening your view. When you see, when you understand, you straighten your view. Then later on, you develop the meditative mind. And that one is very powerful. That one is the third turning wisdom. It can insight into phenomena and awaken, just like that. You become like, all of a sudden, your mind awaken. And you understand very deeply, profoundly. Whereas the initial wisdom come from your mindfulness. Come from your hearing of the Dhamma, the truth, reflection, contemplation, inquiry, and investigation. That one will bring forth the initial wisdom, then that enable you to straighten your view. Then you react less. Then you develop more and more understanding. Then you can go into Sati Sampajana, the 10th step of the Abhijja Sutta. Once you have your daily mindfulness developed, after you have your initial wisdom, it will enable you to develop more and more inner peace, more and more inner awareness. That's why Sati Sampajana become continuous. You are not only mindful, aware, you also have clear comprehension of everything you do. So from sense restraint, from that mindfulness, you will develop sense restraint. Because when you have the daily mindfulness, sati, combined with clear comprehension, sampajana, then your mind becomes very different. You will have sense restraint. You cannot behave like before, heedlessly reacting and doing all those wrong things. That's why sense restraint, when it arises, you can keep your precept. You are incapable of negativity. That's why the sense restraint, born of the continuous mindfulness with clear comprehension, will lead you to the ability to have the three types of right conduct. You will be able to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Yeah. So the three way of right conduct is right speech, right action, and right thought. These three are very powerful. And when you have this developed, you are at least the first stage of sainthood or the second stage of sainthood. That's why Sotapanna shape and Sakadagami shape is not difficult. You can do it through reflection, contemplation. You don't have to develop the third turning wisdom to awaken. But beyond the first two turning wisdom, the third turning, that one you need to develop the Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of the meditative training. That one you need to cultivate four foundations of mindfulness to develop the very penetrative awakening. So, four foundations of mindfulness is a subsequent practice or cultivation. When you have the ability to develop the initial wisdom leading to the daily mindfulness and clear comprehension, then only you can have the sense restraint and the three way of right conduct. After you have fulfilled this, you can move into the four foundations of mindfulness according to Abhijja Sutta. Then you will progress very fast, because by then your sati is already very stable. Otherwise you cannot have sense restraint, you cannot have the three way of right conduct. Sense restraint and the three way of right conduct will make sure your karmic nature is beautiful, where you are incapable of major negativity. So during that time, your mind becomes very different, your cultivation becomes very different, and all the description of the four foundations of mindfulness as given by the Buddha in the Satipatthana Sutta, you will understand. Yeah. You don't need people to explain to you how to do. But through your initial wisdom and all those things, you will understand all those things. Then the words become very clear. It's no more the word. It's the real understanding of what that thing is. That's why when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness with those initial wisdom and understanding, you become very different. You progress very fast. You develop it through understanding. Then you will realize, after you do the four foundations of mindfulness, everything like very smooth sailing. Then you start to experience a lot of enlightenment factor, the seven factor enlightenment. They keep on arising. Well, your sati is very stable. Sati is there. Dhamma investigation is there. Yeah. Then virya is there. Then piti is always there. then you will move into pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is the one that can do the very penetrative awakening. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Sati and samadhi in the state of pasati will awaken. That's why that time, Dhamma keep on arising. Understanding keep on unfolding. It is a very natural state. Then you know you are on the right path. Otherwise, the factors of enlightenment cannot be there. Then when the wisdom born of the third turning, awakening, come about, you will realize at least anagami. If not, straight away you become an arahant and beyond. So this is how the cultivation can be developed. So from the four foundations of mindfulness, you realize the seven factors of enlightenment, leading to the emancipation or liberation of mind, enlightenment in the here and the now. Yeah. So the whole 10th step of the Avijja Sutta, you will go through and you will have the understanding. So it all started with what? Relax, aware. This is concerning meditation. Eh? When it comes to the 10th step, it all started with having Dhamma friends, Kayana Mitta. Then after that, you have the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. That's why that second step is very important. Listen attentively. Listen with faith. Listen with understanding. Be sincere. Then develop the virya to cultivate. So when you do that, the faith, the saddha virya will move you to cultivate. Then you contemplate, reflect, inquire, put the essential Dhamma to test, investigate into them. Then when they stand up to investigation, your faith becomes very strong, become unshakable. That's how the third step arises. Then while you do this, the initial wisdom also will arise. That's why the fourth step. And this listening to the Dhamma, you will listen to all the essential Dhamma, like the five daily contemplation, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four noble truths, with three turning. So all this, when you listen, it will develop the first turning wisdom, the essential Dhamma, especially the five daily contemplation. It will help you to deal with the first noble truth reality. Then it will make you understand karma, the fifth daily contemplation. Then from there, you know how to follow the advice of the Buddha. But the advice of the Buddha comes from that fifth daily contemplation, through having that right view with regards to the law of karma. So all this become like very clear. And you can link the whole essential Dhamma, the teaching that the Buddha arrived. How all this teaching come? It's all from right view. His Four Noble Truths. From there, it's spin off. That's why you have to listen attentively, develop the understanding, inquire, reflect, contemplate, investigate, then write them down until they are very clear, very stable. Then keep on straightening your view, developing the understanding. Then derive the saddha virya, then cultivate. Then with this initial wisdom, your cultivation to develop sati or mindfulness leading to sati sampajana, the daily mindfulness, is very easy. Because by the time you have the initial wisdom, if you have done your homework in the step 2, you would have got your initial wisdom in the fourth step. With your initial wisdom, you diligently cultivate with faith, your daily mindfulness will come, sati sampajana. And when that one comes, you are home. Sense restraint is automatic. When sense restraint is automatic, precept is automatic, kept. And when precept is kept, you are incapable of evil. The three way of right conduct will be there. Then you can move into the four foundation of mindfulness. then realize the enlightenment through experiencing the factors of enlightenment. They keep on arising in you. And the whole cultivation becomes very simple. But when it comes to formal meditation training, always remember the four support. The last support, later you will need it when you go the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, the first three is enough. Actually, relax, aware, that's it, finish. When you can relax, you have all this benefit. Because when you are relaxed, there is no stress, no problem, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, nothing. Then your mind can settle down. Then you will experience what? Awareness. The silent mind. That's why you just aware. Then stabilize this awareness for as long as you can. That's why relax into it. Silent your mind. Yeah. My last guide tell me, relax, aware. He didn't use the word silent your mind. Then he said enjoy. That is his meditation, really. He meditated that way. He enjoyed meditating. Because it's so beautiful. Relax, aware. The mind is still, silent. Just aware like that. Isn't that very, very beautiful? That's why he said after that, relax, aware, enjoy. That is what meditation is all about. He said you can lie down, sleep, you can hear your own snoring. But you are fully aware of the environment, everything. And that inner awareness is so clear, so pristine, so beautiful. That is what meditation is all about. Not what people think. Not all the better technique, all those things. These are just initial skillful means to train the mind for people who don't understand, who don't have the spiritual faculty, where the mental hindrance are very strong. That's why they need method technique to anchor the mind, to make it calm, to make it peaceful. So coming back to Angie, the question, I think she didn't really ask any question yet. She just mentioned how she was able to realize that she is able to relax, then the inner peace, the inner calmness arise. Then because of that, he finds that very useful, very helpful, which is very true. That's why if you really go through the training, you will experience this. But meditation is not just about inner peace and inner awareness or calmness. These are very important because these are the initial, they call it benefits of training the mind. So the initial benefit is you will become more peaceful, more calm, more aware. Then after that, the benefits of meditation is you will understand things very fast because you have clarity of mind. Then you can be very efficient at your work. So these are all the various benefits. But the real purpose of meditation is to develop the wisdom, the understanding, to free your mind, to liberate your mind. So that one is more important. So after you can have that training of the mind, you know how to relax, maintain awareness, then your mind is more peace, more peaceful, more calm. Then you realize this state is very conducive for you to live life, to experience the inner peace, the inner calmness. Yeah. But you need to develop wisdom to confront life so that you will not be afflicted by the First Noble Truth reality. And that part is the meditative part. So you have to go into that. That's why heedfulness got two parts. Train your mind to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. And now you understand that first part. So you have to develop the second part. Constantly meditative means in that state of mind, when you are just relaxed and aware, peaceful and calm, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And then you will complete the training. You will have heedfulness, and the heedful never die. That's why you are destined for enlightenment. And they are all connected. When you can do that, you will realize the initial wisdom, then you will realize the sati sampajana. Once you hit these two, that's why I say step 4 and 5 is very important. The moment you get this, 6 and 7 is automatic. Sense restraint leading to the 3-way of right conduct is automatic. And from these two training, step 4 and 5, you already can become a sotapan or a sakadagami. And it's not difficult. These are the initial awakening that most living beings can realize. During the Buddha's time, a lot of these people become sotapan through hearing. Just like the 5 ascetic. They were with the Buddha to be for so long, but nothing happened yet. For 6 years, they follow him. But the moment the Buddha awakened and become enlightened, come back and visit them, then convince them that he is enlightened, then he just spoke the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Before he finished, one of the 5, Kondanya, become a sotapan. Then the rest got faith. Then he continued with the 2nd sutta, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the sutta on Anatta. All the 5 become arahant, no? Not only sotapan, sakadagami, they become arahant straight away. How is it possible? Because they have already trained in the past. They have already developed this awakening in the past. That's why when they are there listening to the Buddha and attentively, especially after the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha expounded the 4 Noble Truths in his 3 turnings. And Kondanya, being the one that has the condition, because one of the life when the Bodhisattva Sakyamuni was perfecting his perfection of patience, Kanti. This Kondanya at that time was born as a king, king of Kosala, I think. Kosala. He was the one that chopped off his limb. He said, oh, you practice patience. I see how patient you are. So I'm going to cut off your 2 limbs and the 2 legs, 2 hands and 2 legs. See whether you can still be patient. The Buddha just smiled. No problem, he said, you can do it. Then when he did it, the king got a shock. Because the Bodhisattva to be that time, he knew he has completed his perfection. He said, if at the moment you split my 4 limbs, if there is any slightest dislike or aversion in my mind, the limbs will never come back to me. But if there is none, let the limbs come back to me. All the 4 come back to him. That's why the king of Kosala straight away came down on the horse and kneeled down in front of him and asked for forgiveness. The Buddha said, don't worry. He said, you have helped me complete my perfection. You will be the first that I will take across when I become a Sammasambuddha. That's why he got the condition. That's why he will be the first to awaken. Then after he awakened Kondanya, the rest have faith. Then the Buddha, the moment he teach Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, actually you don't have to go through the 10 steps. of the Avijja Sutta, straight away they become arahant. Why? Because Anatta Lakkhana Sutta is very powerful. The moment you realize anatta, you realize non-self. And the moment you realize non-self, because they have cultivated in the past, their mind straight away transform and become arahant. You remember Anatta Lakkhana Sutta? The Buddha asked. It's the body self. What did the monk reply? The body is non-self. Why? The Buddha said. For if the body is self, it will not tend towards? Tends towards what? Suffering. If it sell means I have control over that. Don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Because it belongs to you, isn't it? You have control over it, isn't it? Because if it sell. But because it's non-self, that's why you will tend towards suffering. That's why this body want to get sick, never ask permission from you. No need to, understand or not? It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can control. Then he continued. He said, is this body which is which tends towards suffering permanent or impermanent? The monk should reply impermanent, yeah, because you will get old, you will get sick and die. It will deteriorate, it will decay. Then after that, the third one is the most powerful one. He said, that which is impermanent tends towards suffering. Is it right for you to say, this is me, this is I? Therefore, all this can be mine. They all become Arahant. So how many of you? It's very easy, actually, it's not difficult. Because after he shared, it becomes very clear that the Buddha used this tense towards suffering, understand not, as a understanding to realize that this body is impermanent. Understand? Then this body is non-self because it tends towards suffering. That's why it cannot be you. Then he go and repeat this for feeling, the other four aggregate of mind. Perception, Sankara, Vijnana. Yeah. But for me, my nature, from my own cultivation from the past, I realize the third condition that makes it very clear, especially feeling, is feeling self. If feeling is you, what happens when feeling changes from pleasant to unpleasant? Do you die? You didn't die, isn't it? That's why it's very obvious. Feeling cannot be me. Can this body be me? It's made of element. Without the consciousness trapped inside, this body goes the way of nature. This body can never be me. That's why I understand it differently. Yeah. But when I read the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, I say it's beautiful. Because it complements what I understand. During the early day, before even I went into meditation, I already knew that this mind is not real. This mind is also dependent originating. Well, this is the mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, the world of consciousness. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness, not real, not what you think. And what is consciousness? Arise and pass away, come and go. When you arise and pass away, did you die? You didn't die. So feeling, perception, mental states, consciousness, they arise, they pass away, but you never die. So feeling can never be you. Perception can never be you. Mind state or sankara can never be you. Vijnana also cannot be you. Then why do you foolishly, deludedly cling, grasp and hold and arise the grasping aggregate that condition suffering? That's why the Buddha said the five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, leads to suffering. So when you see all this very clearly, then you realize it is self-delusion. Because we grasp and cling to this five aggregate thinking that it's real, thinking that it's me. Thinking that there is an egoic mind, that there is an I, there is a personality. And this one can become selfish, aggressive, violent, emotional, fearful. That's how the three evil root arise. When there is no mark of a self, no mark of living being, no mark of Dhamma or life, then there is nothing. to hold on to. There is nothing to be deluded by, because that wisdom, that understanding, free your mind, liberates your mind. And that's what meditation is all about. That's why the teaching is very powerful. If you really contemplate and reflect, all this understanding will be there. And you can just overnight become very different, transform. But you need to have the daily mindfulness. That is one thing you must have. I realize without that, a living being cannot. Unless you have cultivated before in the past. Like my nature when I come. Very naturally, I can do anapanasati. And very naturally, my silent mind arrives. Nobody taught me that time. All these things that I teach you, I never learned this life. But they come to me through my past cultivation. And I inherited them. And I naturally know what this thing is and know how to develop it because of my vow. The Bodhisattva vow, the right view, all those things. Ask for forgiveness and all those things. Repentance. The affinity with great beings. And all. These are the things that my nature developed. That's why it come. Every life it will have this understanding. I no need to learn. Technically, even this life, I never really learn from anybody. Although I told you I have teacher, I have guide. But they don't really teach me Dhamma. They teach me other things. Especially my last teacher. He showed me the gateway. Oh. Dhamma they cannot really teach me. Then all the rest, they share with me some of the important understanding that they themselves benefited when they go through the training. They also learn from their teacher. They also have their past. They have their way. Like Xianhua, I just listen to his essential Mahayana teaching. Then that book, Surangama Sutta, only part one came that time. I didn't even have a chance to really have him as a teacher to teach me. But I take refuge under him. Every time he comes, I will go and record his talk. I will listen and listen and listen again. Every trip I go back to Alastair, on the way back also, I will listen non-stop. Because the Dhamma are so beautiful. Then when I listen, I understand. Even though in Mandarin, no. Some of the Mandarin you ask my wife, he also cannot understand. Because he's China type one, Xianhua. He is the real China one. And the way he speak, somehow my nature can understand. So all this, they just arise because this nature is different. It has this understanding. Then when it hear truth, it will know. That's why it know how to screen. Then later on, after him is of course Acharyendra. He was the first teacher that taught me what the mind is all about. That's why I share with you all in the Heart Sutta there. There are seven or eight things he shared with me, which is very good. I find that very useful. First thing I need to know is what is mind. And he was the first one that tell me, body is body, mind is mind. Mind never the body, body never the mind. We choose to take care of mind. Just because he say that, then I realize, hey, body is just a body. That's why I dare to sit through the so-called pain, you remember? During the early day, the 3-day, 2-night type of 8-precept retreat. I remember in Brickfield, that time it was conducted by Acharyendra. So I sat. Then the pain came, very painful down here. Then I remember what he told me. Body is body, mind is mind. Mind never the body, body never the mind. We choose take care of mind. So I tell myself, just let things be. Even if the leg paralyzed, never mind. I'm willing to sit through it because I believe what he said. I have faith in him. So I just sat, relaxed, sat. Then all of a sudden, the shift of consciousness came. Then the whole so-called pain or that pulling sensation, which is very painful, completely gone. It like flashes through. That's how I came to know. When I relax into it, I don't label it as pain. I just accept it. Because I believe mind is mind. Body is body. Body never the mind. Then this segregation of the mind from the body happened. Then after that, I was so amazed in the meditation. I want to find out what actually happened. Then I checked. I used the awareness. Because after the shift of consciousness, my mind was very bright, full of awareness. But there was like a very bright light flash through, split second, like lightning. Then straight away, that whole thing is gone. Then later on, I used back that clear awareness, mindfulness, with that energy very strong. I went down and checked that place. Then I realized there was nothing inside there except that pulling thing. Of course, I had to use word to describe it. It's like inside there, that muscle or whatever inside there, the pulling thing, I can still see that. But because I know how to relax, then I realize that energy flow through. Then I realize the mind is the mind. The body is the body. The two are different. Then only I realize what the first jnana is all about. Not jnana. Jnana, the 16 stages of insight. The first one is paricheda, nama rupa paricheda jnana. Means ability to discern clearly within form and mind. That is the real one. And you know how they interpret first jnana or not? He said when you meditate vipassana, and when you can see that actually they are using thought. When the thought is aware of the pain or the form, is it the thought which is the awareness to them is the mind. The thing that the body, the mind is aware of is the form. They say that is already first jnana. It's not like that. You have to really see the separation of the mind from the form. The two are totally different. Then I realized I was full of amazement. I was full of joy. Then I checked. No wonder people cannot understand. Then from that day onward, I never had problem with sitting. No matter what the pain is, it doesn't affect me anymore. Because I know how to relax into it and be with it silent. Then my awareness take over. That's how I learned. Then after that, he shared with me a lot of things about metta and all those things. He said, nature is our greatest teacher. Nature is full of love and compassion. Nature just give, give and give. Nature never take. That's why we all take for granted. He said, the air we breathe comes from nature. We receive from nature. The water we drink come from nature. We receive from nature. So nature is full of loving kindness, full of compassion. It just give and give and give to the world. But human beings are so selfish. Then he gave the other analogy. He said, the tree which is part of nature endure the sunlight and give you the shade to relax and rest under there. But what the human being do? They go and urinate down there, do all the dirty business and chop the tree. This is what human being do. Selfish, deluded. Then he learned from nature. He said, nature don't have fear. Why the human mind has so much fear? Nature don't have problem. You know why he said nature don't have problem? When he observed nature, he realized nature just echoed and flow. He went through the four seasons when he was in certain part of Thailand, the very north part, Mae Hon Son, where there is snow and all those things. I think the border between Thailand and Myanmar, Hong Kong. He said he observed nature. He realized the plants, the tree, they echo and flow with nature's condition. He said they shed their leaves in autumn and go through winter hibernate to bud again in spring and flower in summer. That's why they don't have suffering. They don't have problem. But they echo and flow with condition. Why can't living being do that? That's why I like his Dhamma, because so beautiful. Then he used to teach us in his poem book. He said, if this body can talk, you will be amazed. You see, the body will call you, O Master, harm me not, for I am only tissue and self. Have me work for you before I am too old, too sick, and too fragile to serve you. You hear this from your body telling you, you're not shy. A lot of people go and abuse the body, harm the body. Do you know how they do it? They got problem, they go and drink and intoxicate the mind and the body. They go and smoke, take drugs and all those things. And sometimes they go and do all those funny things to abuse the body. Sometimes they harm their own body. So all these are delusion. So when you understand, the Dhamma can become so beautiful. That's why you will appreciate. You will have great loving kindness towards your body. You thank your body for serving you so well, for so long. Every part that is still functioning, you have joy. Then you appreciate life, because you will know how to reflect and contemplate. Those who don't take care of karma, they suffer, they become miserable. They are not born perfect. That's why a lot of OKU, you know what is OKU? Orang kurang upaya. So these are, in English it's called what? Handicap. Handicapped people. So when we understand, we develop a lot of contentment, a lot of joy. At least, we are born with the senses intact, understand? Everything normal. Why you still want to complain? A lot of people, they have car, they have house, they have wealth, they have property, they have asset, everything, and yet they still complain. Because they compare with the richer one, the more wealthy one. That's why they are never contented. And they always complain. And this shows they lack contentment. They lack wisdom. Their mind is very funny. They don't know how to make full use of the form of mind. To live life, to experience life, to understand life. To develop all the pristine beauty and wonders of life. That's why lack of wisdom, lack of Dhamma understanding will lead to suffering. When you have wisdom, you have Dhamma understanding, you will become beautiful. Okay, Angie. So now you know, the next one is cultivation. Now continue with your question.
Brother, I think it's true that if we look around us, there's a lot of people with a lot of tension, you know. You look at their faces, you know, and then their body language, you know. They are always...
They are very stressful.
Living in the past.
It's like they have a lot of problem haunting them.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people went into depression. they become very chronic. And also they cannot understand what karma is. That's why your that doctor friend, even as a doctor, very successful, good life, everything, but then when hit with that karmic conditioning, she cannot accept. She suffers so much until she is in depression. Yeah. And the husband also affected. This is life, because in the past, you never know what you have done to people. And this thing will take effect through what? Through karmic. Then, because the condition is such, you have to go through that phase, you don't have the good karmic conditioning to bring about causes and conditions for you to recover. That's why you will not recover until there is such condition. Even though she came to my class, she tried to listen, but I didn't know the husband got hearing problem. And for her, I know it cannot go in because the karmic obstruction is still there. If you don't ask for forgiveness, repentance, and vow, all those things, you cannot. Then the belief system, I think, suppress them and prevent them from having the faith to do. Then finally, when the accident happened, I think they were more demoralized. So a lot of things, it's like coming obstruction, one thing will lead to another, then it will condition them to believe or behave that way. Then they will continue with that karmic debt that they have to pay back. That's why they will go through that way. But those who have the condition and the affinity, very fast they turn around. You go and ask Sihan, all those who came, they turn around so beautifully and so fast. That one was because there is no real condition to understand. Also, the coming obstruction is there very strong. Unless they break it to sincerely ask for forgiveness, nothing can be done. Because when the coming obstruction is there, nothing can go through. For you all, you listen to the sharing, it's so beautiful. You give them to listen, they cannot understand, I tell you. Then after that, I think Pang tried to help, give him a Katole book. Also no use, because they are not ready. There is no karmic condition to receive because of the karmic obstruction. That's why karmic obstruction, you cannot underestimate karmic obstruction. Very powerful. And that day, or yesterday, I was having lunch with one of the Kayamita. And the husband told me, he said, Pratyu, thank you so much for teaching me on how to ask for forgiveness and to repent. He said, ever since he went to Varanasi, from that day onward until now, he never stopped asking for forgiveness. He do it every day. And he said he realized his life changed after he asked for forgiveness. He can understand things faster. And he has more joy, more happiness. Then he follows the teaching now. Keep the precept. Last time, don't believe anything. It's like a typical, very strong will and minded person. So all this, it's possible through understanding the Dhamma. He developed the faith through seeing how the wife changed. Where the wife came to the class very regular, very often, and really completely changed. A lot of very funny type of behavior in the past, I think can challenge Christine one. Worse than Christine also. Also can turn around and become so beautiful, give up smoking, give up drinking, then full-time Dhamma. Then develop a lot of affinity with the Triple Gem and all those things. That's how people can turn around. Huh? Wow. Wow, sadhu. Is there a recording now? Audio file come out. Okay, you continue.
With regards the Pastor Tudor, he advised the followers, right, to that they have to change their understanding of things so that
They say don't pray without understanding. You must pray for understanding.
Understand
what? Understand the way how things work. So he is more creative. Understand? He know to be successful, you have to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. But he don't know how to use this word. Where in the Bible, he can only find the word understanding. So understanding to us is wisdom. When you really understand, it's wisdom. It's not knowledge. Knowledge is I know. Understand? It's not an understanding. When you say you know, means you have knowledge. But when I say understand, means the understanding is not rigid. Understanding can free. So that's why he gave a lot of example of how people become successful. Like how Korea, together with his country, Ghana, same Independence Day and same 50 years. Then South Korea progressed so fast. He said South Korea was never a Christian country. South Korea is a Buddhist country. Then the next greatest economy is China. They also basically Buddhism. Then Japan. At one time, they were one of the strongest economies, second largest economy. And they are Shintoism, also Buddhism. None of them are Christian. Then he talked about Malaysia, Indonesia. They are Muslim. They also progressing. They got a prime minister like our PM. So he said, we must develop understanding. We are all these people, they change through understanding. Even China changed through understanding. To understand how the country can become 强大, stronger, and more powerful. So that once the country becomes stronger, the people will benefit. And to do that, you must have a government that is sincere. You must do away with corruption. Then you must implement the system that work. Because in one of the whole talk, I think Jin Hao sent the link. You listen to the whole talk. There was one part. He quoted Deng Xiaoping. He said, Deng Xiaoping is very pragmatic. You know what is pragmatic? Pragmatism. He is not fanatical on it. He doesn't always say, communism is the best. Everything go communism. No, he's very pragmatic. Whichever work he will use, the strong point of capitalism he will use. The strong point of capitalism and socialism he will use. Then he say, like the cat, he say, whether it's a black cat or a white cat, 黑猫, 白猫, 全部都是猫. The one that can catch the mice is a good cat. You understand? So don't go and divide into black cat, white cat, what race. Go on meritocracy, he said. The one that can solve your problem. You know what is a cat or not? It will catch the mice. And what are mice? They destroy your goods and things. They create a lot of problems in your house, in your shop and other things. So you need these people based on their ability to actually catch all these mice that destroy your country and your economy. That's why you go on meritocracy. Whoever who can do that, they are your good citizen. Understand? Use them. That's why he quoted here. He said, this is pragmatism. You are very pragmatic. You don't, because of ideology, you refuse to use them. Understand? Huh? So that is a very, very good way of actually learning things. To be pragmatic is very useful. Pragmatic in the sense that whatever that actually benefits the world, benefits humanity, use it. That's why you must have people who are sincere, honest, trustworthy, efficient, intelligent. They are the people who can help rebuild the country, help bring about transformation, help bring about change for the better. And this is what the world should move on into. That's why the Belt and Road is a win-win situation for all countries. It's meant to help the world. Together we progress. And China is so willing to come up with the capital and everything and the funding just to get this moving. There's a lot of these countries who benefited from them. They appreciate. So now they realize the Road and Belt has created a lot of allies for China. The African people now, they are speaking out for China. And they are learning Mandarin. And they are learning how to sing the China's patriotic song, honestly, the Chinese culture. And they really love, even countries like Pakistan, that belt that they started to the Europe, now the Eastern Bloc of Europe also, they are very, very happy with China. Then now UK also tell the American, you go and fly kite. They work with Huawei, everything. A lot of European countries now, they dare to speak out. Last time, Kam Chut Seng, Germany also last night. So now they tell the US off. That's why now Trump, he is trying to play his election card. You know, yesterday he started his campaign. His campaign phrase, I want to make America great again. He still used that phrase. Now all the press is cursing him. He lies everywhere. And America is not great. You saw the video or not? What makes America great? I say use a few words to describe it. Like a sentence or what. Then a lot of the panel speakers all say all the beautiful phrases, diversity and all those things. Then one fellow refused to answer. Then that, I think you call it what, the coordinator or what? Facilitator. Facilitator. You know what he said? He went and questioned about. He said, you have not made your this affirmation, whether you agree or you don't agree. Then he got really, really cannot tahan. He whacked them back. He said, in the first place, the student that asked the question, he said, please, ask the right question. You are completely ignorant of the fact America used to be great, but it was never great anymore. Is it? Then he gives statistics, or he quote example everywhere. America is don't know what number down the line for education, for what, for a lot of things they are behind. They are only in front a few of the very ignoble things. They are the greatest bully. That one all they talk. But the rest all cannot. They are really rock bottom now. So because of that, he whacked everybody. Then all the panel speakers that say all those things, he said, do you think America still hold on to those principles? No more. Gone are the days when George Washington started, he said. They really look after the people. They are sincere. They have love and all. Now, all the capitalists is running the American economy. Both the Democrat and Republican, they are no more talking about all this like advancement or whatever research. They are talking about war, armament, make money. And everything is about money. And it's Wall Street. Then sanction. Then do all the arm twisting on, put fear into people. People don't agree with them, they attack you, they threaten you. So the world is so different, so different. So now people start to see, because most of the people in the world now is more educated, much more educated than before. And they know how to really compare. And when they listen to all the various type of views and opinion, because now internet is so fast, people will know. People are no longer like in the olden days. All blackout, all the news, propaganda. So now all the CNN, the Bloomberg, all the propaganda doesn't work anymore. Because a lot of people are already not like before. They have more understanding of the world. So people dare to speak out now. Even the American economists, they speak out. they tell this DT, Donald Trump, you see. So a lot of his policy, his speech, people are making fun of him in the TV. In the American TV, you know, not the other country TV. You know. They have this type of president. You know. They really bring about shame to the American people. You know. Never before an American president stood so low to say all those words, you know, that people really look, what type of leaders are America having now. It's no more like last time. Because everything they do and say cannot stand up to the world of reasoning, logic. It is like Mahathir say, it's no more like fair competition. Because we are a civilized world, Mahathir say. We don't behave like uncivilized people. You see. Everything also talk about sanction of war and all those things, or threat. He said, this is not trade negotiation, this is threat. So he said, whatever differences, whatever disagreement or conflict, we have to resolve it as a civilized race on the negotiation table. No more like last time. Behaving like gangster and all those things. So all these are very beautiful argument from the other side that the American people are hearing it now. So it's so different because the world has become almost like no more secret. Overnight, the news will come out and people get to know before even the press know. That's why sometimes you are very connected. You receive the news faster than CNN, Bloomberg, and all those things. Sometimes my WhatsApp, how come they know already so fast? Before the news come out. Last time you depend on all this foreign media. And every time got major event happening, switch on CNN, Bloomberg, where they are the first to report. Early on was BBC, ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, British Broadcasting. But later on, these two also become like not so popular. But now we got CGTN. That one also very fast. So a lot of things has changed. Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm just now. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you should widen your outlook in life to understand more things. Understand? Because the form of mind is very beautiful if you know how to use it. And it can bring about a lot of understanding. But do not be deluded by it or deceived by it. Use it wisely, beautifully, for the good of the many, including yourself and your loved one. But don't abuse it. Don't allow it to go the heedless way. Then you become beautiful. You will have beautiful karmic nature. And you will have the good life every time you come. No matter whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have the good life. But if you don't have this Dhamma understanding, you don't take care of this form and mind, take care of karma, every life you come, you suffer, you become miserable. There are a lot of coming obstruction. That a lot of, like NG say, human being got a lot of problem, suffering, worry, everything also they worry. They worry about their health, they worry about their business, their relationship, their career, their children, then later worry about their grandchildren. Then got property, also worry about their property. No property, not enough money, also worry. Then overgear, then make wrong decision, business failure, bank after you. Got worry. Project got problem, also worry. Then a lot of this kidnapping and all those things, police case and all this, snatch thief. Actually, human beings suffer a lot. But we are very blessed if we have the Dhamma. You realize our lives are so much better than most people in the world. Like they say, can sleep well, can eat well, can walk and travel, you are very blessed. The six senses still intact, you are very blessed. That's why contentment is very important. Then develop more joy. Then have love, have compassion, appreciate life. Appreciation is very important. Appreciate everything that the world has given you, including your Dhamma friends, your loved ones, nature, everything. The world has given us so much joy, so much thing, so much rich and wide range of experiences. And this one money cannot buy. That's why I always share with you, we are living in a golden age, golden era. Do you realize? These are the things our parents, they miss. And we are at the peak of our career and life. And we get to witness all this great transformation, great civilization. And you have the good karma, the means. You can experience a lot of wonderful things. So beautiful. Okay. We will share merit, transfer merit, then we invoke the blessing for the nation, and you make your aspiration, then we end. Akasata cha bumata devana mahindika yang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo satukalena sasa sampati hito cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones, then we end. Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. to each and every one of us for being here tonight to listen to the Buddha Dhamma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And sadhu for all the offerings to the Buddha.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Also an appreciation and gratitude to the virtue and the people of the community for what we have to be a home to listen to the Buddha Dhamma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
What should I mean for the title?